Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Yesterday, Christopher Lockyer, Secretary General of Médecins Sans Frontières, briefed the UN Security Council on the humanitarian catastrophe caused by war in Sudan. And he called for an end to violence against civilians and a new commitment to delivering life-saving aid. He branded the war in Sudan as a war on people. I spoke with him just before coming on air, and before discussing Sudan, I first asked him about the statement from Hamas this afternoon about releasing an American-Israeli national and agreeing to resume negotiations on the second phase of a ceasefire deal.
My reaction is that we need this ceasefire to continue. And we need to ensure at the same time that there is a massive scale-up of humanitarian assistance into Gaza, and also at the moment the West Bank, where the situation is deteriorating after this horrific conflict that has been waged in Gaza. The healthcare system has been largely destroyed. Large areas of Gaza, particularly in the north, have been pulverized. We're running hospitals. We're working in three hospitals and running two field hospitals in Gaza. But there, it is essential to be able to keep the supply pipelines open so that our medics on the ground can treat people. And at the same time, as I mentioned, we're extremely worried about the deteriorating situation in the West Bank. Mm-hmm. So we would call on both Israel and Hamas to ensure and do everything they can to ensure that this ceasefire continues. The people in Gaza have been subject to such an incredibly brutal experience over the last period.
And that call to allow aid into the West Bank and Gaza, that is crucial now with the electricity gone and people without bare necessities.
Yeah, and it's been essentially over the last few weeks, what we've essentially seen is humanitarian aid being held hostage to ceasefire negotiations. Which we would call on to never ever be the case, and what would be and further than the situation in Gaza, we'd be worried that this is setting norms and precedents for future situations. And we would say that whatever the conflict situation, humanitarian assistance must be able to reach the people who need it.
Mm-hmm. And before I move on to Sudan, what about the remarkable proposal, Christopher, that the US and Israel have contacted officials in three East African countries to discuss using their territories for resettling Palestinians from Gaza? I mean, that's reported by the AP. What is your reaction to that?
Well, in December, we released a report that and in that report, we said that what our teams were seeing on the ground were in line with a growing number of experts were saying were signs of genocide. And we're also saying that there's been clear signs of ethnic cleansing in the north of Gaza in particular. The people of Gaza must have the right to live where they live. And if they need to leave Gaza for medical treatment, they must have the right to return. At the moment, we've got to focus on a massive scale up of humanitarian assistance in Gaza and reconstruction and providing the basic supplies, ensuring that water flows and electricity flows so that the humanitarian response can be effective.
And those charges being fully prosecuted or investigated by international courts, of course. I've read, if we move on to Sudan, I've read your address to the UN and your briefing on the humanitarian situation in Sudan. And we've discussed it on this programme. You've described it as a war on people. Can you tell our listeners what you told the delegates?
Yeah, well, I mean, this was one of the key themes of the intervention, in that we are seeing such a brutal conflict throughout Sudan. There can be no other way to describe it than a war on people. Civilians are at the center of this conflict. We've seen it in our medical programs for the last 2 years. I saw it on the 1st of February when I was in Omdurman, an area of Khartoum, the capital. And I was in a hospital that we are supporting. It's called the Al Nao Hospital. And just a couple of kilometers away, a market was shelled by the rapid support forces. And while I was there, I saw an emergency room which received waves and waves of patients with critical injuries. Mm-hmm. And just in the few days following that, we had three other mass casualty incidents in other health facilities that we were supporting. One in Niala in South Darfur, because of the as a consequence of a bombing by the Sudanese armed forces. Another in the Zamzam camp in North Darfur, which we've had to close and suspend our activities because of the levels of violence there. And so this conflict continues to be waged in the most horrific way, and that's why we're calling it a war on civilians.
And you're, what you're describing there are strikes by both sides on a peanut factory, on a hospital, on a camp. And you're saying that the lives you have seen in Khartoum and in other places in Sudan, the lives of men, women and children being ripped apart, torn apart, you say?
Yes, I saw it in front of my very eyes. And there's also a lot that we don't see happening directly in front of our eyes. We are aware that there is pervasive sexual violence. We see that. We see women and children coming to our clinics. We've heard. We've seen children under the age of five who have been raped. At the same time, the rates of malnutrition are going to go up. There's been very high. There's been excruciating levels of malnutrition. Something like a third of the population is living in food insecure situations. But we're coming up to the rainy season now, which means that the hunger gap is going to start. It's going to be harder for people to get food. We're going to see malnutrition going up. And we don't have it's a humanitarian response, which is wholly inadequate. And we don't have the food in place to be able to mitigate this risk as the rainy season approaches. We've got weeks now. It's a race against time to pre-position food in Sudan, in the Darfur region, but also in Chad, on the border areas where we have hundreds of thousands of refugees.
You didn't pull your punches in terms of your description of what's happening, quite similar to what you're saying to us. But in your address, you said millions uprooted, tens of thousands killed, famine tightening its grip, 2 years of suffering. And you said met with 2 years of indifference and inaction. I mean, it's quite clear from what you say that MSF thinks not enough is being done by the West and international communities.
Absolutely. I mean, part of the message was to the warring parties, to the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces in terms of how they're conducting this war and the impact that it's having on civilians, but also on the blockages to humanitarian assistance that are caused by the politics between them. Essentially, we're caught in the middle. Humanitarian organizations are caught in a battle of legitimacy between them. And then at the same time, the international community is not doing all it can. It is difficult to provide humanitarian assistance in Darfur, but in Sudan and in Darfur in particular. But I saw with my own eyes in December, when I traveled all the way through large parts of Darfur, that it is entirely possible to reach a great deal of the population there. And as an international community, as a humanitarian community, we're failing the people of Sudan.
What do you think countries like Ireland can do? Because it strikes me, just reading your speech, listening to you here, the Taoiseach met with the US President Donald Trump in the Oval Office for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations just this week. And he said, it's the humanitarian impulse, he said, that motivates the Irish. And that was in the context of Gaza. Do you think Ireland could be doing more in terms of Sudan?
I think everybody can be doing more in terms of Sudan, to be honest. I mean, we've just discussed a little bit the situation in Gaza, which is absolutely horrific. But in terms of the numbers, Sudan is the biggest humanitarian crisis that we have in the world today, and we've had for decades. I don't like comparing one context to another, because Gaza is horrific. But we have to be able to focus on a number of humanitarian crises at the same time. Otherwise, we're not doing justice to that humanitarian impulse.
Thank you so much indeed for joining us, Christopher Lockyer, Secretary General of MSF.